They say don't get too close to the fire.
What's up, Brady Seals? I am so glad I have you on my show once again.
Oh, man, listen, it's just good to be seen when you get my age. You know what I'm saying?
God, you look like you're 30 years old.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I tell you, I was with off subject, but I was on the road this past weekend with Lori Morgan.
Yeah.
And doing some filming and
right.
She looks 30 years old too. So y'all take care of yourself really well.
For me, it's just, you know, the cheeseburger diet, man. You know what I'm saying? I just try my best. You know what I mean?
Wendy's or McDonald's?
Well, you know, listen, here lately, I've been a Burger King guy. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened, man. You know, because for years I never ate Burger King at all. And then I drove by, and it was that special charbroiled smell in the air. And I was like, oh, man. I was like one of those cartoon characters floating to it. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious. That's funny because me and Jesse Keith were just talking about Burger King being a hot spot as well for us.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out. I am really excited because – the last time I talked to you has been a few years back when the podcast was just audio. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, it is video. And since then, before we get into my love and all that good stuff, you put out a book, God Bless Texas and Me Too.
Yeah.
Man. And not only did you put out a book, but you were pretty vulnerable, man, in that you really let a lot of people in to who you are, where you come from, and you're the heart of Brady Seals today. Tell me, I want to know just how that had someone approached you about a book, or is it something you wanted to just do yourself to get out?
Actually, the book idea had started like 17 years ago.
Wow.
You know, And I started in, I wrote like maybe a chapter or something like that. Then I just put it down. I had so many, you know, things going on and just never did finish it like most writers do, you know. And so years later, 2017 rolls around and I went through a hellacious divorce. One that I did not want to go through. And I was going through some, you know, some hard times, man. I was struggling pretty good. And, you know, as they say, it's the dark night of the soul, right?
Mm.
So I was going through that whole thing. And I was reading a lot of Max Licato books. I don't know if you're familiar with Max or
not. Very familiar.
You know, he's such a great mentor, teacher kind of guy, you know. But he's an exceptional writer, you know. And so I would read his books, and he had this really cool songwritery kind of thing about how he would use metaphors and different little parallels in life to go through the situations that he was talking about. So I was reading those books, and you know, and they were really helping me. And I thought, you know, maybe it's time that I just go ahead and just lay it all out there, you know, and kind of tell the story. I've gone through so much, as the book will tell you, but I certainly didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. I didn't want to talk about things that maybe I shouldn't. There's a lot of road stories that I left out, you know, a lot of stuff that I've done in my past that I kind of chose to leave out. But I really tried to kind of broad stroke it a little bit and just kind of let everybody know God was with me. You know? And I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. And basically the book just kind of takes the reader through my life, showing God being there through the good, bad, and the ugly, and blessing me every step of the way, even though I was sinning.
Yeah.
You know? So I just thought that it might be kind of a cool little read, you know? And so I put the thing out, and I've had a lot of really, really wonderful people come to me, great feedback. And I'm so glad that I did it.
I am too. And that book is, I mean, it's on your website, right? People can still check out the book there.
Yeah, just bradyseals.com. Yep. And if you order it off my website as opposed to like Amazon, you can also get it on Audible. I recorded myself doing the whole thing. You can get it on there as well. But you can get it on my website and I'll autograph for it.
Oh, that's even better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. bradyseals.com, buy the book and he will autograph it for you. Well, it is. I've read my cousin, Angel, had bought the book, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I guess it was a few years ago when you came to Blairsville at Granddaddy Mims.
Yeah.
You performed a solo date there, and she got the book that night, so that's very cool.
Sun's coming out. See,
I see it.
It's you, Britt. You know what I'm saying? You're bringing the sunshine today, man. This is good. Thank God.
It's not here though.
I know, right? It hasn't shown here in like freaking 4 days.
Man, I know. Yeah. I'm so ready for the time change in March 12th.
Yeah,
it's when we get longer days, and I'm ready for spring and summer. I love things about winter, but man, I'm ready for the warm.
Me too.
Now moving right along, you have a new version of My Love, 30 years, Brady. I mean, seriously. 30th anniversary edition of My Love. And that was on the Big Time Little Texas record that I had when I was a little kid. I had it, I think I was like 10 years old when I bought it. And I remember riding around listening to every song all the time on my lawnmower when I was like 10 years old. But yeah. My Love was on that album. It was one of the biggest singles that year. And you're releasing it on Valentine's Day. Tell me about how this came about.
Well, you know, it's kind of a strange scenario. I was working on this other project. I won't go into the whole thing, but I was working on like a Little Texas kind of tribute kind of thing. And that kind of like went south. I won't go into the whole story, but with all that, I'm thinking, well, good gosh, man, I need to go back and revisit some of these songs that I haven't like really recorded in a long time, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I mean, even Taylor Swift is going back and re-recording all of her albums, you know, just simply because when you sign with major record companies, they own those masters, you know. Mm-hmm. So anytime I want to, you know, put it up on YouTube or wherever, I can't, you know, and it's pretty sad. It's like,
it is.
Goodness gracious, you know, you'd think after a certain amount of time, it would revert back to me or something, but it hasn't. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and record it. And I was in a meeting with a fellow who was working for a booking agency here in town. And he said, well, you know, next year is My Love's 30th anniversary. And I was like, no, you know. And he says, man, you ought to put that out. And I'm like, it's a great idea, you know.
Yes.
So I did, you know. And I called my old manager / producer / publisher, Christy DiNapoli, a guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Called him up and I said, hey, I said, would you want to go in cahoots with me and let's record a greatest hits album? Right.
Oh, wow.
And he said, absolutely. Let's do it. You know, so we're going to put on all of the songs like God Bless Texas, Kick a Little, My Love, What Might Have Been, Amy's Back in Austin. And then I'm going to do some of my originals, my solo stuff like
Another You.
Another You, Another Me, Hillbillies Love It in the Hay.
Yeah.
And a couple more on there as well. And so that's going to be following the My Love release.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. I got you now. Are you, when you go back, when you go to re-record these songs, are you, I had Brian White on a couple weeks ago, and he's getting ready to re-record his hits. Right. And he said, I want to stay true, you know, for the fans' sake, but I'm also going to make it, you know, fresh, but not take too many liberties, because I don't want to, you know, sometimes fans are like, boy, that ain't Amy's back in Austin.
That's right.
So are you approaching it as fresh, but still something the fans are going to...
Basically beefing up the sound, just making it a little bit more modern, but all of the progressions, all of the arrangements will be pretty much the same.
Okay. You know?
I didn't want to stray too far from the original because, you know, like me, I like when I, you know, whenever I go see somebody live, take, for example, Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Big Sheryl Crow fan.
Me too.
the only complaint that I have about Sheryl, and I love her to death. She's great. Don't get me wrong. But whenever you see her live, she takes a lot of liberties with those melodies, you know. Same thing with Willie, you know. I'm Willie's biggest fan, but Willie takes a lot of liberties with those melodies, man. And sometimes you're trying to sing along, and then he's off on something else, or she's off on another tangent, and I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying? So I tried to stay to the original.
Yeah, that's awesome. Didn't you re-record God Bless Texas a couple years ago? Is that?
I did. It was a slower, more swampy kind of thing.
I liked it though. I did. I listened to it today, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, I recorded that thing. That's my fiance in the video. I don't know if you know that or not, but
I did. Yeah.
Her name is Denny Baker, and soon to be Denny Seals. Uh-huh. But she's in that video. Of course, she's as hot as she can be. so I had to put her in there. And so we did that to go along with God Bless Texas and Me Too, the book, right?
Yep.
Now, on the greatest hits, it's going to be a brand new version. It's going to be sped up and going to sound a little bit more like the original.
Right. That's what I was curious about. Yeah. But that version, I'm telling you, I like how you said the swampy. I like that description.
Yeah.
Because I get it.
Slower and a little
Yeah. You know? But it was great.
Thank you.
And the video is awesome. And so y'all, I did know that y'all are engaged and y'all are going to be married. And I know you are on cloud nine and just God is continuing to bless you, you know?
You know, it's so true. May 7th is the elopement date. We're not going to have a big wedding, but we're going to do an elopement. And ironically enough, we haven't exactly picked it yet, but I think that we're going to get married at the same place that I did the video for Another You, Another Me, right?
Oh, wow, yeah. It's a
cool place here in town. So we're going to be doing that, and we're super, super excited. I mean, we've been together now for 6 years, you know, so it's time.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is time.
It is.
And she is. It's funny. This is before we booked you for the show, but you know how you get suggestions on Facebook and all that. Well, I had a suggestion pop up just a couple of weeks ago on our podcast page, and it was Denny Baker.
Really?
And it was. It suggested to follow Denny Baker, singer, and I think she just got a modeling deal, didn't she?
She did.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm so proud of her. You know, she's very, very just humble and just been, you know, but she did all that on her own. She did it, and I'm so proud of her. And we've been on a couple of shoots here lately, and she's just so pretty, and I just can't wait to see what she has in store as well.
Now she sings too, right?
She sings, absolutely, man. We've done little Facebook things and stuff where we'll sing. You know, I remember we did that song "Shallow," you know, Lady Gaga and all that kind of stuff. We've done "Louisiana Woman," "Mississippi Man," you know.
Yes,
I did my Conway, you know. So So yeah, we've done Merle Haggard tunes and all that stuff. She's a great singer too. Very talented.
That's awesome, man. moving right along, and I still haven't seen either one of these that you are a big part of, but we'll start with Petty Junkies. Are y'all still doing stuff? Okay.
You know, the Petty Junkies is this cool little Tom Petty tribute band that I get together with these dudes. I'm telling you, it's five of the dudes and me, and some of the best musicians I have ever played with.
Wow.
Each one of those guys are so accomplished. We like to brag that between all six of us, we've played on over 300 number one songs, right? So there's, it's crazy. And we also like to joke that Lonnie Wilson, our drummer, has played on the 200 of them. He's just so good, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
He's just so good. And so it's me, Jerry McPherson, Mark Hill, Lonnie Wilson, Blair Masters, and Gordon Kennedy. Which Gordon's going to be coming down to Blairsville pretty soon.
Oh,
me to do that song.
That's great.
Over at Granddaddy Mims. We try our best to just do justice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't impersonate. We don't try to look like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or anything like that. We just really play the music as well as we possibly can. Mm. You know.
Yeah, to honor some of the greatest rock songs ever to be put out.
Yeah.
And I do. I hold Tom Petty in a high place in my musical library.
Yep.
So, but you got Petty Junkies, and you've got some dates coming up with Seals and Cross 2.
That's right.
Yeah. And tell me how that started, or how you even, was it your idea to put that together?
Well, it sort of just happened, to tell you the truth about it. I was doing a little project called the Seals Family Album, right?
Oh, okay.
And I was going to do some, like three songs by me, three songs by Jimmy Seals, three songs by Dan Seals, and three songs by my Uncle Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Lua come over, which is Dashcroft's daughter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, I want you to sing on, you know, Summer Breeze or whatever, you know. So she came over and we started singing together, and just immediately it was like,
chemistry immediately,
you know. And it's so wild, because back in the 90s, when I had out Another You, Another Me, that was right after Little Texas,
mm-hmm.
I went overseas and I did this European tour, and Lua came over with me to do that tour. So she would sing Winona's part and all that kind of stuff. She's an incredible singer. And so we've known each other a very, very long time. But when we started singing this last time, man, which was, gosh, it's been like 4 or 5 years now, it was just special. So I put the Seals Family Album, you know, on pause for a second, and we started learning the hits: Summer Breeze, Get Closer, Diamond Girl, We May Never Pass This Way Again, right?
Yeah,
and then we went album deep with some stuff, and then we've even recorded some original stuff now. So
we've been
doing that for quite some time. We play a lot of theaters, you know, and stuff like that. And we just have a blast doing it.
What's the crowd response to this? I mean, has it surprised you, or I mean, are these like what kind of are the crowds like that you draw with this duo? Are they just lovers of those songs? Are they coming to see you two?
There's so many people that comes up at the end of the set and says,
yeah,
oh my gosh, I was at the concert in, you know, L.A. when they did, you know, the Hollywood Bowl. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. So it is
That's so awesome.
Wonderful to carry the torch, if you will, and really try our best to do justice to those classics. And then, of course, we throw in Dan Seals or England Dan and John Ford Coley tune. I'd really love to see you tonight.
Yeah.
So it's really our honor to be able to do that sort of thing. And luckily, you know, Jimmy and Dash both loved the idea.
Yeah.
And Dash was the one that says, well, you're Seals and Crofts. Just put a two on it, you know, and that's what we did.
You know? That's a cool story that you just shared. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, this right here is awesome.
If you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me. If you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me. Darling, if you want me to love only you.
Her harmony.
Yeah.
Dude, her harmony is killer.
Oh, she's spectacular. She's really, really great. I mean, she should have had a solo deal back in the day. We talk about it all the time. She's really, really great. And just fun. She's like one of the dudes when we get out there on the road, you know.
Yeah.
We hop in the car with the trailer and just hit the road, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's well, you know, before I got some more stuff to ask you, but just thinking of that, you know, back in what year did First Time for Everything and Some Guys come out? Was 90, that
91 maybe something?
Yeah, like that. I mean, y'all started in the early 90s.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you just a real quick synopsis of the Little Texas thing. We all got together. Me and Dale Gray, the drummer, were the last two members of the band to come in. They were a 50s and 60s band at the time called the Varsities.
Okay, I did not know this.
Yeah, so we, Dale and I, were playing with this guy named Josh Logan, who was this MCA Curb Record country artist, right? Mm-hmm. So we were way up in Massachusetts somewhere, and we were playing the Big E State Fair. And we were sharing the stage with the Varsities, right? And they were playing all Shirelles and Buddy Holly stuff and just old 50s and 60s stuff, right? So they were staying at the same hotel and we became friends. And then, gosh, maybe 4 or 5 months later, whatever, they called me up and said, hey, you know, you want to be in a band? And we're like, well, yeah, but I'm not sure about a 50s and 60s thing. I appreciate it. So it never went anywhere. Well, they called back and they said, well, we may have a guy, Christy DiNapoli, that I told you about earlier, who might know someone at Warner Brothers to get us a record deal. And I was like, okay. So I got interested and they said, well, do you think Dale would want to do it too? And I said, well, I'll call him. So we decided to go ahead and take the leap of faith to leave Josh. We love Josh, by the way. But we left Josh for an opportunity. And so we all went on a cruise ship and we basically played out several Varsity shows with them. Right. And during the day on this cruise ship, we would go into the Grand Lounge. There would be nobody in there. And we would learn a whole country set, right?
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, Dale and I were, you know, we were already immersed into that whole world anyway. You know,
okay.
We were playing honky-tonks from Catskill Mountains to Paso Robles, California. So anyway, we worked it up. And, you know, there were two girls in the band, Tim's wife and Porter's wife.
Did not know that either. Yeah.
At the beginning, right? And so Christy and a guy named Doug Grau, which was he was the A&R guy for Warner Brothers, said, well, you know, I don't know about the girls. So would you guys want to do just six guys. And we're like, well, we'll try, you know. So that's what we did. And our first show was at Miss Kitty's in Atlanta. Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia, yeah.
Right? Opening up for Travis Tritt, right? So that was our first show. And, of course, he was our label mate at the time.
Yeah.
And it was before he even had out Country Club, you know.
Miss Kitty's was a big deal back in the day.
It was huge, man.
Yeah.
So we went in there and started paying our dues, man. And for the next 2 years, it was just nonstop honky tonks, man.
Yeah.
And, so that was the beginning of Little Texas.
And that was before the first record came out.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we were just getting our feet wet, man.
Yeah.
Playing those Billy Bob's and Chandelier out in Texas and Tulsa City Limits and Grizzly Rose and all of those honky tonks, man.
Oh, yes, man. Oh, Grizzly Rose in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's a very famous music venue.
I swear we got a van and a trailer and we just drove everywhere. It was crazy.
Oh, that was pre-bus days.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, so let me ask you this. So when after first, did you get any credits on the first record?
Yes, I did. I didn't write as many that record because Porter and Dwayne O'Brien were writing most of the songs.
Right.
They wrote First Time for Everything.
Okay.
Some Guys Have All the Love. What else did they write? Oh, You and Forever and Me. They wrote those three. But then we put out a little song that I co-wrote called What Were You Thinking? And that was the first one little, we just a little tad bit before we jumped into big time. And by then I had kind of gotten into writing nonstop.
Yeah.
And we really kind of wrote out of necessity because we were being pitched terrible music out of Nashville.
Oh,
we didn't have anything. We weren't, we weren't on the charts yet, So being pitched a lot of the B kind of material.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, Alabama passed on this one, boys. You want this?
Right. Exactly.
When big time rolls around, though, I mean, it's like, well, you had those, was it four? I think four singles came off that first record, right? Or four or five.
Three, I think.
Well, I'd Rather Miss You came off of it. So that'd be four.
Was I'd Rather Miss You the first record? I think I'd Rather Miss You was the first record.
Yes. Oh, that's what I'm talking about is the first record. Yeah.
Yeah.
So y'all had four singles off that first record, right?
Yes, exactly. So there was First Time. First Time, You and Forever Me, and then I'd Rather Miss You, First Time for Everything, and Some Guys. Yes, and Some Guys. Yes.
Yeah. So y'all had a following, and then Big Time just like shoot y'all skyrocket to the moon.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It was crazy, man. We were out on the road with Clint Black, and it was the Hard Way tour. And Clint was like,
oh yeah,
he was rocking and rolling back then.
Oh yeah,
big production and everything. And so I think we started off touring with him at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Oh wow!
So we started doing that, and then we went on a stadium tour with him, and things were rocking, man. I mean, like a lot. And I remember, and I tell this story, every now and then. I remember, Porter and I being on one side of the stage, and then the other guys would go out on the other side. Dale would go out first, get the beat going. And then those three guys would run out, and then Porter and I would run out. But we were backstage, and the lights in the stadium went down, and the crowd was going Little Texas.
Oh wow!
And it was like chills.
I just got chills because I can hear it.
And I turned to Porter, and he turned to me, and we're like, we did it. You know, did it. And it was such a incredible ride. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed that it happened.
Man, what a, that I'm sure there were multiple semis and buses, and it was that was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. And then we did the Travis Tritt and Trisha Yearwood Rock and Country Tour, right? The Budweiser Rock and Country Tour. And we went out, and that's when it just got really crazy. And I tell you, Britt, you know, you'll realize this when you read my book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a burnout factor, man. And you when you're touring so much, and I had been touring since I was 16 years old.
Good.
Whenever I left Ohio, I didn't go my high school year in my senior year. I actually went out on the road, and I did my homework out on the road and took night school and graduated with my class. Right.
Wow.
So I was at it really early. So I'd been doing that, you know, I spent 2 years out on the road with, Josh, and then 3 years out on the road with, six years out on the road with Little Texas.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, man,
that's a lot.
It was a lot. The year before I left the band, we played 322 dates.
Wow.
It's like, what, you know, but that's dates.
Yeah.
That's not days on the road. That's
oh,
dates.
Yeah.
So it was insane. You know, I think
that is insane.
Country Music Magazine or something or whatever said that we were the hardest working band in country music. And it was the truth, man. We were nonstop.
Mm. Wow. That's crazy, man.
But it affected me, man. It really got to me. And, you know, because, you know, I had gotten to the point to where I was doing a lot of the pre-production on my own. Right. Mm. Now we worked so much that we literally had to take a recording rig out on the road with us. So like backstage of the stadiums, we would be recording pre-production for our next record. But whenever we would get home, I'd be in the studio, man. You know, I'm recording the vocals. I'm recording, you know, getting Porter to come over. And it was usually Porter and I, you know.
Yeah.
But I was the one engineering. I was the one that was doing all that kind of stuff. And it just got to the point to where I was like, I can't do it anymore, guys. You know,
and that's
what happened, you know.
Was that mainly for the Kick a Little record, or
it was? Yeah. Yep. It was for the Kick a Little record. We were recording that.
Yeah.
While we were supporting Big Time.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
It was insane, man. It was really, really insane. And I just went through anxiety, the anxiety spawned depression. I had, you know, panic attacks that I just thought that I was losing my mind, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people didn't really talk about it that much then.
No, yeah.
And I just felt like out of control, man. I felt like it would always be that way. I think I felt like my mind was broken, you know, and I tried to explain myself to the guys, and they're like, what are you talking about? They didn't understand. I mean, I look back on it now, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them for not understanding, you know. I didn't understand.
Yeah. You know?
So it was a very difficult time to have to leave that group. And I mean, truthfully, I didn't want to. It's just they didn't want to slow down.
Right.
And if they had slowed down, I'd have stayed.
Yeah.
Simply.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, is the... just thinking back on all that, man, thanks for being real on here. I love that.
You know, look, I tell you, man, you know, as you know, growing older, First of all, it sucks. It sucks, man. You know, but at the same time, there's this peacefulness that happens. Mm-hmm. And you kind of you're okay. You're okay with how things went.
Yeah.
To just survive it all, I'm thankful for, to have the opportunity to do the things that I've done,
mm-hmm.
to meet Willie Nelson, to meet George Jones, to play the Opry and meet Roy Acuff and Bill Monroe and, you know, for Dolly Parton to flirt with me and, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things. I'm like, what? Thank you, Jesus. For this incredible life that I've had. And yeah, it's had some hiccups and it's had some really, really, really bad emotional times. But I tell you, man, I look back on it now and I wouldn't really change a thing.
Yeah. I love that. What do you ever have people after they read your book and or even listen to stuff like this? Are you able to ever give someone advice on anxiety or panic attacks or depression?
Absolutely. You know what? Thank you for saying that, because I tell you, I don't know if you see it like I do, but more and more and more people suffer from it every day, it seems these days, compared to even back then. Mm-hmm. The world is going so fast, you know, us having that mobile phone on all the time,
yep.
having access to something or somebody having access to you all the time can really, really get the adrenaline happening, you know. And so I know that people suffer from anxiety and depression all the time these days. And my biggest advice is, first of all, turn to God and your doctors, right? Yep. He's the great physician.
Yep.
Go there first. But I certainly do not, downplay medication, you know.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
Sometimes it's very necessary. Sometimes it's not. But when it is, you know, do what your doctors tell you to do. But I would say, first of all, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that taxi thing where they're in there trying to get their driver's license or whatever, you know, and the guy that he talks like that, you know, the guy that was in Back to the Future, right?
Oh yeah.
For him, you know, he was in that thing or whatever, and Alex was over there taking the driver's test or whatever, and he was trying to cheat, you know, because that Lloyd guy was in the room, and he goes, "What does a yellow light mean?" And he goes, "Slow down." And he goes, "What does a yellow light mean? Slow down." You know, so it just this yeah. whole thing. But anyway, I got off subject there. But I'm saying, if you are freaking, slow down, man.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down. If it's work, stay home.
Yeah.
If it's family, stay away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get peace, man.
Yeah. If,
you know, look, life's too freaking short, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to do what you got to do. I would just say, you know, turn to God, you know, because he can help you, you know,
mm-hmm.
around yourself in positivity. You know, for me, I like to listen to sermons. There's this cool guy he's an old English guy. He's dead and gone now.
Oh, who is it?
Derek Prince.
Okay.
Go check out Derek Prince, man. Very, very intellect intellectual preacher slash teacher, and kind of charismatic a little bit, you know, but not over the top. He's not like, you know, some of these guys. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, don't say no names.
I'm not going to say, you know what I'm saying? But he's like some of these dudes, but he's the real deal, man. And
yeah.
But whenever I go to bed at night, if I can't sleep or whatever, I listen to some Derek Prince, man. And
I love that.
And so that's just my two cents.
Yeah. And, man, some of these incredible theologians that are, you know, from the 1800s or from the, or even early 1900s, there's some great sermons and messages for sure.
Amen.
Yeah. I love that you said that and brought that up. And Max Lucado. I love,
Great, man. He's got some great, powerful books, you know?
Yeah. I've got a lot of Max Lucado books from over the years. Mm-hmm. I started reading Lucado when I was probably 99 or 2000, maybe 01. Somewhere right there. Yeah.
Some here in the library right here. It's just,
yeah.
Love it, you know?
Now, how do you, at one time, I don't know if it's called mentoring, but weren't you helping out if someone wanted to work with Brady Seals or a songwriter that they would pitch it to you or contact you and you were, you know, you would record it for them or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I certainly have not been that kind of guy and, you know, the cigar smoking guy. I can make you a star, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of guy.
Right.
But, you know, if there's like a new talented kid out there, male or female, doesn't matter, you know, that's wanting some pointers. I don't have as much time these days as I maybe 2 or 3 years ago when I was doing that a lot.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, but whenever I am off the road and somebody can catch me, of course, you know, and I think it's, I don't even know how much I charge anymore. I think that it was like $250 for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
You can ask me whatever you want to ask me. You know, if you want to just talk road stories, I got plenty of those, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's learning and songwriting, if it's music theory, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. That's cool, man. And, in between everything else, are you still writing and still, being inspired, being creative?
Oh man. Yeah. You know, I love it. You know, I don't think that I could not write. Mm-hmm. Now, there's times when I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, just don't write just to kind of give my brain a rest.
Oh yeah.
And start coming up with fresh ideas and start listening instead of writing, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm very much a person that if I got kind of like catch on to something like a new music or whatever, I want to write like 7 songs like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get inspired and I get excited about things or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I love to write, man. I'm thankful that I've been able to make a living at it all these years, you know?
That's awesome. Well, Brady, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just wanted to say how grateful I am that you came on. The show will promote the new My Love single. And I wish you nothing but the best with Seals and Crofts 2, Petty Junkies, Brady Seals, all the things that you are doing. I'm proud of you because I know that you are the real deal. And I'm so grateful that you were vulnerable enough to share some insight of just turning to the Lord and find a good doctor, because there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor to get help.
And I will say this: drugs and alcohol will not do it. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah.
It might put a Band-Aid on it for a night or two.
Right.
But then it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Turn to God, turn to family, turn to people who are positive lights in your life. And man, I really appreciate you having me on. And thanks to everyone for tuning in again. Valentine's Day, man.
That's right.
My love is coming out.
That's
you.
Right. I can't wait to hear it, man. I'm excited about it. Well, maybe later on this year when this Greatest Hits project, you think it'll be 2024?
Oh yeah, I think it'll be later on this year, and have me back on if you will.
Yeah, we will
talk about each song. You know.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, love Brady. If I don't see you March 23rd at Granddaddy's, then I will see you some other time on the road, I'm sure.
Sounds great, man. Thanks for having me on.
See you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.